Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with another recording of the ABCs of Christian Growth. And we are on the letter F, as in forgiveness and forgiving today. We've since had three lessons prior to this one. This will be our fourth lesson on the lesson study number 6A. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." What a blessing. If we just had that verse right there to live by, we could live a hopeful life, couldn't we? Well, I welcome you today. And just to recap just a little bit on forgiveness and forgiving, I remind you that this is the ABCs of Christian growth, and we're going over what the Bible says and only what the Bible says. And what God says about forgiveness and forgiving. I hope that you've been going over these scriptures since, we've been giving them to you, that you've been rereading them and, just meditating on them and allowing God the Holy Ghost to teach you what He means by forgiveness. I hope that even you have found it in your heart, to listen to the Holy Ghost to heal some forgivenesses and forgiving that might be necessary in your life. For a man or a woman to say that there's no necessity in their life for forgiveness or for forgiving is foolishness and it's hogwash. Everybody, if you're a human being and you've been born of a woman and born of the flesh, you got some forgiveness and forgiving problems. And there is such thing as being able to live your life and to be able to say, "As far as I know, Lord, I have no malice against anybody, and I can't think of a soul that should be mad at me about anything." There is such thing as saying that, and it's beautiful when you can, and it's a treasure to have. And the Lord wants you to live like that. So, but there are some things that we have to get straight, and the scriptures tell us how to do that. And if we mind the Lord and trust Him and do it as He says, all things will be well, because God's Word doesn't fail, because He backs it up, and He has the power to back it up. The Bible says God's Word liveth, and it abideth forever, and it is alive, and you can watch it work if you use it. And you'll live by it and incorporate God's Word in your life and let it become part of you and saturate you. You will find that God's Word will literally work in your life. It will go to work in your life. God has given us a treasure between them two covers in that book. And you want to talk about missing out on your ship coming in? If you got a King James Bible, and you don't never open it, and you don't never study it, or you just let it sit there and look at it just to say you have it, man, you got a treasure chest there that's slam full and running over, and you ain't even opened up the chest yet. That's the bottom line. So we're talking about forgiveness and forgiving. We have in the past talked about what are the synonyms or some synonyms of forgiveness and that's used in the scriptures concerning other words that the Lord used and other phrases and ways of speaking that the Lord used in the scriptures to describe forgiveness and forgiving. We also talked about what's the basis of forgiving. And went through some of those, the Lord, God's nature and God's grace, remember, and the shedding of blood and Jesus Christ's power and the Lord's death. All of these are the basis of forgiveness. We have forgiveness, and we have a good foundation for our forgiveness. This is forgiveness. This is the kind of forgiveness that's not going to fail us. Aren't you glad that the God that has forgiven you and has given you a written document proclaiming that He has forgiven you simply by the trusting in His Son and asking for it. He has granted that to you and given it to you and given it to you forever. And He said He ain't never going to take it away. He has forgiven you. And that's the end of discussion. Aren't you glad that there is a God that'll stick to His word like that? Aren't you? I am. I don't know about you. God, the Bible says God ain't like man that He should lie. And He's not. You know, God's never lied to me. I've lied to lots of people, probably everybody I've ever known. I'm not sure, but if two people get together and they look one another in the face and they talk more in about 5 minutes, one of them's going to tell a lie. Whether they realize they lie or not, somebody's going to tell a lie if you talk long enough. And if you told the truth, you'd know that's true. But you know what? The Lord never lies to us, ever. You stop and examine that one time while you're sitting there drinking a cup of coffee or something, everything's quiet, and you meditate on that, and you try to look back in your life and see where, and try to blame God for a lie. You won't find one. He never lied to you, ever. Now, we talk about what the significance of forgiveness is, remember? We talked about God's righteousness, that salvation is real. And forgiveness shows that it's got to be preached. It's got to be preached. So the next thing that we're going to go into today, we're going to title this category or this part of the lesson called Forgiveness. How much? How long? What's the measure? What saith the Lord? You know, there was a person that said this one time. He said, not far from New York, there's a cemetery where there's a grave where it has inscribed upon its headstone just one word. It says, forgiven. There's no name on it, no date, no birth, no death, no written thing at all on there except that one word, forgiven. The stone is unembellished by the sculptor's art. There's no pictures on it. There's no epitaph on it. There's no fulsome eulogy on it. If that rain gets too loud in the background for you, I'm sorry about that. I live with a metal roof on the top, so if you hear that, that's what that is. But there's just one word on it, and it's forgiven. But that's the greatest thing that can be said about any man. Or written upon his gravestone, forgiven. Wouldn't you say that? That pretty well describes, you can sum up a whole man's life by one word right there, and that be a word that is meaningful and will describe an entire man's life, forgiven, or a woman's life. Now, when we tell the truth about it, we all would have to admit that when it comes to receiving forgiveness, we do not want it measured out to us, but shaken down and shaken and pressed down and running over every time, just like the scripture says, right? When it comes to being forgiven, we want as much forgiveness as we can get. And a person would be a fool not to, and be proud and arrogant in street language, an idiot. Be an idiot not to want forgiveness and not to want as much forgiveness as you can get. But there's something unusual happens when the tables are turned and it's our turn to give out some forgiveness, ain't it? We begin to look for measuring cups and scales so that we can be absolutely sure that we don't overdo it or give out more than's deserved. We'll even go as far as stalling the forgiveness so that we can really think this thing through. I mean, is this really what I want to do? It's a peculiar polarity in this matter of forgiveness, ain't it? Don't you think? Whenever it's our time to get forgiveness, we want it poured out and just as much as we can get. And a person would be an idiot not to want it that way. But when it comes to giving out forgiveness, we pull out the measuring cups. And start examining and trying to weigh it to find out, to make sure we don't give out too much, or that they're getting just as much as they need, or for whatever reason. That's pretty peculiar. Now, what's the Bible say about this thing about how much to give people forgiveness, and how long should we give it to them, and what's the measure? How much in the measuring cup should we give them? And that's what we, what the Bible says is what we want to think. If the Lord says how we should think about forgiveness, and what He says is right to Him, then it should be right to us, right? Amen. All right, well, let's look at some things that forgiveness should be. Let's look at a few things that the Bible says that forgiveness should be. What's the measure? How much? How long? What's the Lord say? Well, the first thing that we want to look at is forgiveness is to be unlimited. Forgiveness is to be unlimited. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21 and 22, and you already cringing, ain't you? It's supposed to be unlimited. No, I heard all them teeth gritting. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me?" Notice Peter didn't say anything about him sinning against his brother. He said, "My brother sins against me." And there are times in life where people sin against us. Yes, they do. And there are things that's happened to you that you did not deserve and should not have happened to you, or said to you, or done to you, or whatever it was. But they sin against us. They sin against us. Then Peter said unto him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" He asked the Lord, "Should I forgive him seven times?" Now see, that's the way man is. That's what Peter asked for, and that's probably what we would have asked for if we were addressing the Lord about how many times. As a matter of fact, you've probably even asked that question, and I have, in our prayers about somebody that's offended us and keeps on offending us. And you said, "Lord, man, they just keep doing this to me. How many times have I got to forgive?" You ever said that? Well, Peter said it. He said, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Now, the Lord knew we needed a number. And he knew that Peter needed a number. He asked for a number. How many times? He said, "How many times?" And he even suggested to him, "Seven times?" And he thought seven. Peter was probably thinking seven times is a compliment. You know, I mean, I'm Peter. I'll forgive him seven times rather than just twice or three times. Should we forgive him seven times, Lord? The Lord said, "No, not seven times. How about seven times 70? That's 490 times that your brother comes to you and he sins against you. That's what Peter described. If my brother come and sin against me, how many times should I forgive him? And the Lord said, 70 times 7. Now, you ain't got to be no super mathematician to figure that out. 490, even I can do that. 490 times. But you got to stop and think. 490 times, 70 times 7. The Lord's not stupid. He knew that we would want a number, so he gave it in response to Peter's question. He could have answered any way he wanted to, any way he wanted to answer, the Lord could have answered, but he answered and gave a number. Now, I know you ain't keeping no list, and if you are, I don't know if you're keeping a list or not. I hope you ain't got no friends you're having to keep lists to like that, and how many numbers they've sinned against you. But has anybody made it to 490 times in one day? Now, remember what Peter said. He said, "And if he trespass against," he asked the Lord and said, "How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till 70 times 7? And he was talking about one day. He was talking about in one day. then we get the truth of what the Lord meant, right? We probably ain't going to live long enough in our lifetime for somebody to sin against us 490 times. And if we was counting, it'd take a long, 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 long time to get 490 times. What the Lord was trying to give us was a spiritual, He gave us a number, okay, a literal number. So, you know, you could sit there and mark and get up 490 if you wanted to. The Lord said it. But the spiritual realization about this is that we're not to limit our forgiveness. Forgiveness is to be unlimited. And it's not only for the person that's getting the forgiveness, but it's also for our sakes. We are to have unlimited forgiveness. You know how little kids do whenever they get mad at one another, or say the child, two children aren't involved, but say two of your children there, and you get on one of them, and this other child's watching, and they love one another, and your children love one another, and they see you getting on that child and trying to get him to get right about something, and then the child. The child can't make up his mind whether he wants to get right or not, and then finally he confesses and he gets right and everything. But that other child is listening in the whole time. He's listening to everything that's going on. He's rooting for that child to get forgiveness, ain't he? He wants that child to get forgiveness. He wants his brother or his sister to get forgiveness, doesn't he? Well, everybody that we know that needs forgiveness, we root for them to get forgiveness, and we want them to get forgiveness. And everybody that we know that we want, that needs to give somebody forgiveness, we want them to give them forgiveness, don't we? In an unlimited way. We know that how terrible it is to walk around with somebody that's offended against us and walk around where we're offended against somebody else and have to carry that monster around on our shoulders. But when it comes to us personally, there's just something about it that makes us want to limit the forgiveness. But forgiveness is to be unlimited. The Lord said in Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." You see? The Lord said it's to be unlimited. If it's seven times in a day. It wasn't 490 in a day. I don't think anybody can do that. I'm not sure, but I was wrong about that. This verse here says seven times in one day. That's what Peter was talking about. Seven times in a day. If he comes to you and turns and repents and says he's sorry, you are to immediately forgive him. Now, that's the way the Lord said for us to do, and we're not going to read anything into it. We're not going to take anything out of it. We're just going to take it for what it says. The Lord said, "Thou shalt forgive him." And most of the time, people don't sin against us seven times in a day, do they? It's just once or maybe twice and maybe three times or something like that. But the Lord said, don't put no brakes on your forgiveness. Let your forgiveness be unlimited. Forgive them right away. Right away. That's what's wonderful about little children. They don't hold grudges. They forgive right away. They can be mad, I mean just as mad as can be. And then 1 hour later, they're out in the front yard playing together. They forgot all about it. That's what the Lord's talking about. And you know when they forgive that tomorrow they're going to fight again. And the next day they're going to fight again. But they keep forgiving. It's unlimited. Forgiveness is not only supposed to be unlimited, but it's also forgiveness is to follow repentance and confession. Forgiveness is to follow repentance and confession. Not only are we supposed to give out forgiveness freely and it be unlimited, but also if we offend against somebody, we're supposed to repent and confess that to them immediately. Even though we're saved, we're still commanded to confess our sins to the Lord, to remain in fellowship with Him. It has nothing to do with whether or not we're going to heaven. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That was permanently settled at the time you accepted Christ. But now, as a son of God and a representative of His family, you are responsible for your behavior. And when we sin, the Lord has been very kind to us in that He has given us a way to immediately fix it. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that ought to be an example of forgiveness between us and our neighbor and us and whoever we offend against. If we offend against somebody and we make them mad or angry or hurt their feelings or insult them, we have to go immediately and repent and say we're sorry and confess it. You'd be surprised how things can be healed up real fast if you just say you're sorry. If you don't say you're sorry, you can't be forgiven. You say, well, we're supposed to forgive. We're supposed to forgive whether they say they're sorry or not. Well, I don't know about that. There's a lot of people that just ain't going to say they're sorry. You're right about that. And we need to go ahead and forgive for our sakes so that we don't have to live like that. And we want to walk like the Lord. But the Lord did not. Just because somebody's too proud to say they're sorry when they offend us does not mean that they shouldn't. The Lord said that it's very important to say you're sorry and to repent and to confess it. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, you say, well, that was saying you're sorry to the Lord. Well, here's another one. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Lord not only said for us to confess our sins that we sin against Him and that He would forgive them right away, but the Bible says that when we offend somebody else and we sin against somebody else, that we are to confess our faults one to another. We to say, look, I messed up. I'm sorry. And then pray about it together. I mean, how many times have you ever said you're sorry to somebody and said, you know, I'm sorry, I messed up, and then pray with them about it, and you walked away from one another enemies? That probably ain't never happened. Anytime you come together and you confess your fault to somebody, it's going to be 99 out of 100% of the time they're going to forgive you if you ask them to forgive you. I sure did mess up. Would you please forgive me for that? I'm sorry. The Lord said if He comes to you seven times in a day, forgive Him seven times. And they should forgive you seven times. You see, forgiveness is to follow repentance and confession. Now, is there somebody that you need to go tell you're sorry to? Is there somebody you need to go tell, I sure messed up and I'm sorry? I mean, it can't be fixed now, but just between you and I, whether anything's said or anything's done about it, and most of the time, if they don't say a word to you, a day or two later, you're going to find out that you've gained your friend. You've gained your friend back because their heart can't handle it. When somebody says they're sorry and you mean it, and you have the courage and the humility to go to them and tell them you're sorry and you admit it, that's going to change their heart. And the Holy Ghost will change their heart, whether it be a day or whether it be immediately or whether it be a month, whatever, it'll change them. And you'll have your friend back. Is there somebody you need to go forgive? Is there somebody that you need to go tell you sorry to? Why ain't you done it? You ought to go tell them you're sorry, and you ought to admit your faults and confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. And there ain't no excuse. The Lord said for us to do it, commanded for us to do it, and that's what the body of Christ ought to be doing. Okay, the next thing, not only is forgiveness to be unlimited and forgiveness to follow repentance and confession, forgiveness is to be pursued. It's not just something that pops up accidentally. You're supposed to have the kind of frame of mind, and I'm supposed to have the kind of frame of mind to where to where anytime anything pops up that could possibly drive a stake between me and somebody or somebody and me, then I'm supposed to immediately have a frame of mind to pursue forgiveness. I'm supposed to go get it. Now, if I've offended against somebody, the Bible said for me to go confess my fault to them. But if they offended against me and they hadn't come and told me they're sorry yet, guess what? The Lord even made provision for that. You know what he says? He said, I'm to go to them and get the thing straightened out. Now listen to what the Lord says. He says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15 through 17, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, you didn't trespass against him, he trespassed against you. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, just you and him. And you tell him, this is what you did, this is what you said, and I'm not here to argue about it. I'm here to get some forgiveness, and I'm here to just talk this thing out and get it straight between me and you. And when he sees that you want to get this thing straight, that you came to him, and he knows he offended you, that should mean something to him. But if he's going to stick with his pride and he's going to be ignorant, the Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I don't mean get on Facebook, to Facebook, and tell everybody what he's done to you. I don't mean go slander him. I don't mean all that. The Lord said, between you and him. You go tell him alone. If he shall hear thee, in other words, agree with you and humble himself, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. In other words, you go to him the first time, just you and him. He says, and he denies everything, and he just wants to argue about it. Then you go get two other people or three other people, and you go to him again, and you say, listen, I want to get this thing straight. Now, here's what, and you go over it again. And the Bible says, thou hast gained thy brother, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. In other words, you got witnesses that you went to try to straighten this thing out. And if he shall neglect to hear them, in other words, your friends are saying, come on, let's get this thing straightened out, come on. And he don't want to hear them, then here's what the Bible says. It says, if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. That's when you bring it public out in front of the whole church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now, most of us jump those first two things and just go right to the heathen man and the publican. Make him an enemy and make him a stranger and don't hang around him and no fellowship, no nothing, no nothing, no nothing. And just make it right away a heathen matter. But the Lord said it's a process. Now this is not talking about that you have offended him. It's talking about him offending you. And you to go to him by yourself, try to straighten it up. If you can, then you gained your brother and it's over with. If you can't, take two or three witnesses, godly people, and take them over there, have a conversation again, and let the other two, and then the witnesses try to talk him into straightening this matter out, and he sees that you're going out of your way to try to get this matter straightened out, and you and your heart are sincere about it, want to straighten it out, and he still won't listen, then you take it before the church. And if he is hard-hearted enough to go against the entire congregation of the church, the assembly, then the Bible says, let him be a heathen man and a publican. He's not gonna say he's sorry. And the Bible has provision for that. But there's a process to be gone through, so that the more important thing is to gain your brother, is to get forgiveness. You see? So forgiveness is to be pursued. It's to be pursued. The Bible tells us that. Not only if you have offended them, but if they have offended you, you still pursue it. The idea is that there be unity and be peace. and that there not be any discord among the brethren. Now, not only is forgiveness to be pursued, but forgiveness is to be as God forgave us. We are to remember in our heart what the Lord has done for us, and we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. In other words, in the same sense, in the same as the Lord has forgiven us, we're to forgive others in that same frame of heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another." That don't mean why you discussing this forgiveness thing, you pointing your finger in his face and saying, "Don't." But if you ever do it again, that ain't what the Lord said to you when he forgave you, is it? He didn't say it to me like that. He just forgave me, and I didn't deserve it. I was far from deserving it, but he forgave me. And you know what? He's been very kind to all of us, hasn't he? And very generous with his forgiveness and his mercy. And the thing about it is he didn't have to, but he did it anyway. The Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." In the matter of forgiving and forgiveness, we need to keep in mind and keep in heart and remember what the Lord and how the Lord has forgiven us. And that'll help us to have the right frame of mind. We'll be tender-hearted. We'll be kind and show kindness in this thing about we wanting to get patched up. And forgiving one another. And you got to admit, if you go in with the right voice and the right heart and the right sincerity and go in there just like God forgave you, and you go in there to try to get some forgiveness or to give some forgiveness or to get something patched up, most of the time it's going to work, ain't it? It's going to work. Forgiveness is to be as God forgave us, the Bible says. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." It says forbearing one another. In other words, put up with it. Put up with it. In this stinking world that we live in now, there's so many crybabies out there need their diapers pulled up. They whine about anything. "Oh, you didn't put mustard on my sandwich." And just whine and whine and cry and blabbity blab and just whine and whine and whine. And don't put up with nothing. They ain't going to tolerate nothing. "Well, you've offended me." Well, that's just tough apples. That's the way life is. Life itself is an offense, isn't it? The Bible says, forbearing one another. You put up with each other. And forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Well, the Lord sure has got some hard rules, don't he? But they're beautiful, aren't they? And they work. Forbearing one another. Put up with each other. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness is to be as God forgave us. Another one, forgiveness is to be on purpose. On purpose. Forgiveness doesn't come by accident. Forgiveness is not by accident or put on a time schedule. Well, I'll forgive you in a month. Well, I'm going to let you suffer for a couple months or a couple weeks or a couple days or a couple hours before I forgive. No, 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 no. Forgiveness is to be on purpose and to be right away. Forgiveness is to be pursued. It's to be unlimited. It's to be, it's to follow repentance and confession. It's to be as God forgave us. What if God said, "Well, let me think about it"? You say, "Lord, I sure messed up. I done this 100 times. This makes 101, and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me." And he says, "Well," scratches his head and says, "let me think about it." You go, "Huh? Let me think about it. No, come on, Lord, forgive me, please. Well, don't you think that your brother deserves that? Or that if your brother ought to forgive you the same way, if this is 101 times? Or you don't scratch your head and think about it? The Bible says it's to be on purpose. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and then 23 through 25, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Forgiveness is to be on purpose. Forgiveness is to be as God forgave us. Forgiveness is to be pursued. Forgiveness is to follow repentance and confession. Forgiveness is to be unlimited. Now, according to the above verses that we just got through talking about, the reason that we forgive is because we want to, not because we have to. You see, it all starts right there in that heart. It's what kind of person we are. Now, we are children of God, and the Bible says for that the Lord is conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, when you ask the Lord to forgive you for something, which is probably every day if you're like me, I'm lucky to get by 15 minutes without having to address the Lord for forgiveness, probably. But when you ask the Lord for forgiveness, aren't you glad that he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But not only that, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From the time that you say you're sorry and the Lord sees it sincere and that you mean it, he cleans the slate and we start all over again. And that's from father to son. That's not from judge to convict. That's from father to son. It's over with. Forget it. I forgive you. Just do better, my son. According to the verses that we read, the reason that we forgive is because we want to, not because we have to. A lot of times the reason forgiveness has not been successful in our lives is because we just plain don't want to forgive. Now, these things should be in a Christian's life when it comes to forgiveness. Should be on purpose and should be as God forgave us and should be pursued and should follow repentance and confession and should be unlimited. We should seek peace and ensue it. The Bible says, according to 1 Peter 3:11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Another reason we don't forgive is because our walk with the Lord's not right. If we'll not tell God that we're sorry, we're sure not going to tell others or forgive others when they tell us. Our walk with the Lord's got to be right. Our fellowship with our Heavenly Father's got to be right. Our confession needs to be up to date with the Lord and telling the Lord that we're sorry and walking with a clear conscience between the Lord and ourselves. And then we can have a clear conscience. We'll straighten everything up and have a clear conscience between us and men. It's good stuff, ain't it? Archibald Hart said, forgiveness is surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. William Arthur Ward said, we are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. We are most like God when we forgive. The Holy Ghost has already discussed it with you and already putting it on your heart what you need to do. You ought to just go ahead and do it. Just ask the Lord to help you. Tell him to give you, ask him to give you courage and to protect you and to make you not afraid and be sincere about it. And if you need to go to somebody and let them know that they offended you and that's why you've not been talking to them and that's why y'all not had fellowship and that you're missing that, just say, I'm missing you and I just want you as a friend and can we straighten all this out? And if you have offended somebody, then you need to say you're sorry. And you need to confess it to them and get that thing straightened out. You can do it. And you should do it. Now, there are some instances, and I'm not giving you an excuse, and the Bible doesn't give you an excuse. But if you go to somebody and you try to get forgiveness, you don't need to discuss the problem. You don't need to go over that for the 9 bazillionth time. All you need to do is just say, can we just straighten this up and get some forgiveness here and some I'm sorry's and let's be able to face one another again and talk and be friends and have this thing healed. Forgiveness and forgiving. Today we've been over forgiveness. How much? How long? And what's the measure? What saith the Lord? Well, we get into the Scriptures. The Scriptures are pretty clear about things, aren't they? And the yoke is easy. It's not heavy. The Lord said His burden is light, and it is. And He gave us a perfect plan about how to heal these things and get these things straightened up through forgiveness and forgiving. Now, this is something that the world is not the least bit interested in, but we're not the world. And we're not interested in exercising like the world. We're interested in exercising like our Lord says, because He's perfect and His Word is perfect, and there's power behind it. And if you'll do what the Bible says concerning and what the Lord says concerning in His Word about forgiving and forgiveness, if you will do it, then and you will let it be done, it'll come out right. It will. So, thank you for listening in today. For this recording, and the next recording we're going to talk about what are the benefits of forgiving one another. What are the benefits of forgiving one another? Thank you for listening, and God bless you for forgiving people, and the Lord bless you for letting others forgive you. Have a wonderful evening or morning, and talk to you next recording. Bye-bye.